Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон trap сонсон trap сонсон trap донсон trap донсон Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаан Дадаж дуудан дур була мууруулаа
What's up, people? It's a brand new MMA Roasted podcast right now. We got two this week. I'm here with the Ween Dog.
What's up, dude?
Hasn't been here in a while because you've been... What have you been doing?
I've been abroad studying.
I think this one's the one that works, by the way.
Oh, this one doesn't work.
No, that one works. That one's plugged in.
All right, cool. I see. All right,
you've been abroad studying? No, you haven't.
No, I haven't. I've just been studying. My college career is almost done.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I've been trying to get my bachelor's degree for like 6 years now. It's taking forever, but it's almost done, dude.
Congratulations, man.
Yep, and then I'm going to go get my master's degree in mass communication, and that's going to take another 15 years to complete.
Really?
I don't know.
Master's in communication? Don't you have a podcast? Isn't that...
Well, I want to be official. You know, maybe one of these big movie studio companies needs a master communicator or whatever it is. Any big company, Netflix, if you're looking for a master communicator, you know. Called a ween.
Masturbator.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, well, it's good to have you back, man.
I'm glad to be back. I'm like in a famous movie set now, dude.
Right here?
Yeah, this is where you filmed the pilot for Pinned, right?
Yes, we are in my garage because my mother-in-law is here for the week because it's spring break. She's a teacher, which is great because she's giving me a little bit. Like even last night, I got up at 7 a.m. My baby had to go to the doctor, so she has a virus. I have a stomach virus. We have the same stomach virus.
Oh, I'm glad I'm here, full of a bunch of viruses.
No problem. And then then I was up all day. Then we had the podcast. Uh-huh. I had the podcast at like 6, and then I got an audition for Young and the Restless.
Oh, that's a good show, dude.
I didn't even go because it was like 6'2", hunky 25-year-old.
I should have called me, dude.
Seriously. My wife's like, you want to borrow my platform? I'm like, no, thank you very much. Her platform shoes. Uh-huh. And then I had the Dime Bar, which went really well last night. Then I had Judge's Roast Battle. It was me, Jeff Ross. It was really good, actually.
Cool.
Alex Hooper. And it was awesome. And so that was awesome. I was judging the Roast Battle, which was... And Michael... slipping my name right now. Mike Lawrence. Yeah, the guy's a very good comic. Mike
he
Lawrence.
Won the Rose Battle, right?
Yeah, the original one. Yeah, he was also the judge. So that was cool. But I took an Adderall to stay up because I was up since 7 a.m. Uh-huh. And I already take Adderall during the day. And I drank like 3 Red Bulls. So I was
Adderall's
wired.
Awesome, huh?
Yeah, it helps me. It helps me focus. But I couldn't. I got back to my bed. And at like 1 a.m, and I was nervous because I haven't, you know, those guys are sharp, you know, and I had to I did really well as a judge. I had to come up with jokes on the fly. It was great. It was actually great. Like there was a woman that was transitioning to a man versus like Cholo rapper. And I was like, oh, you know, you're a really scary dude. And then there's the rapper, you know, like I was killing it.
That's
on the
so
roast
funny,
battle.
Dude.
There was a Native American girl and we kept making Native American jokes. I'm like, look, with all due reservation, you know, like I was just, you know, anyway, so I said it better on the show, but
it was fun.
So that was cool. But I didn't get, so I got home at 1:30 a.m. and then I come home and my baby couldn't sleep. So my wife has her in the bed and the dog is like, wants to cuddle next to her. And then there's the 3 cats. So now I'm in like the corner of the bed, having to like shield the dog away from the baby, like half asleep. I woke up every hour. It was so I didn't get much sleep. So I'm happy that my mother-in-law is there because I actually slept in a little bit.
Is Violet a year old yet, or is she almost a year?
She's 8 months.
Eight months. She's getting there. My nephew, he's about to turn 2, and it's crazy. They get to a point where they grow so rapidly and evolve so rapidly in their speech and motor function. It's kind of scary. It's like, oh my gosh, dude.
Well, the first 3 months, she couldn't laugh. Like, babies can't laugh at the first 3 months. Uh-huh. I didn't know that. I thought it was bombing constantly. And then I finally made her laugh because I told her a really good rape joke.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Okay, so anyway. Listen, people. I got to talk to you about naturesoilsonline.com, okay? Because they are the best CBD you're going to get. A lot of people are hesitant to try hemp-derived CBD oil because they just don't know where to start. There are so many different products and brands, hard to know which product's right for you, how much to take, when to take it, how to know if you're getting too much, all right? But this family-owned business, family-owned, you gotta support the families, okay? They not only provide the highest quality U.S.-grown hemp-derived CBD products, but they also give personal guidance on choosing the right product and finding a dose that works for you. Their hemp is grown in the U.S. without the use of pesticides and is mixed with organic MCT coconut oil. Each batch is third-party lab tested for potency and purity, and the results are posted on their website. They have a variety of products, including full-spectrum or whole-plant hemp oil extract, hemp-derived isolate tinctures, hemp and emu oil pain balm, which I need, and full-spectrum CBD dog chews. And when I tell you, I give this up to my dog is so much happier and friendlier and more relaxed, okay? All their products are available on www.naturesoilsonline.com and include free shipping within the continental U.S. Call them directly and ask questions at 469-525-3131 as a special offer for listeners of the show. Nature's Oils is offering a 10% discount of their already reasonable prices, okay? When calling out online or enter a mention, discount code ADAM10 to get 10% off, okay? Check them out. It's Michelle and Christian, really nice people. Also, Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in the U.S. Not in the U.S., in California. It should be all in the U.S. Yeah. But in California, they will deliver it right to you, okay? Don't go to the dispensary and wait online for 6 hours and gas is through the roof and it's a whole thing. And you run into your neighbor and they're like, oh, you smoke weed too? And now they got to talk to them or your boss who now thinks you're stoned all the time. Forget about that. Get it delivered. They will deliver it right to you. They have marijuana coffee, marijuana, regular marijuana. They have the best eighths. They have marijuana chewing dip. They have CBD stuff. They have breath sprints. They have breath strips. They have whatever you need. They have stuff for your dog. They have the best stuff you can think of, okay? Check them out at speedweed.com. Follow them online at speedweed. They will go right to you, and they're good people. This guy, Gino, takes care of comics, takes care of fighters. Just a great person, okay? And they will get it right to you. Mention Roasted, you get $10 off, $100 or more. Roasted, you get $10 off. Great people. And listen, people, okay? I got to tell you about something I'm involved with now, okay? Rockfin, R-O-K-F-I-N. If you want to support the podcast, right, and you actually enjoy what we're doing here, go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. It's $10 a month, and you get the podcast. I'm going to put a video up every day, heckler videos, stand-up videos, videos of shows. It helps me, okay? You want to help the podcast? This is what you do. Support me. And because they have other people involved, Nick Diaz has a channel. You get all his videos. Ben Askren has a channel. Get his videos, okay, which you can't get unless you pay $10. But for the $10 you support the podcast, you get everyone's. Okay, it's like Patreon, but you're not only supporting one person, you're getting everyone's stuff. Okay, go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. Okay, you gotta say endorse me. You gotta go endorse Adam Hunter. It's $10 a month, cancel anytime, and you're really gonna help me and help the podcast. So, all you guys, and tell you what, if you show me that you endorse me, okay, send me a screenshot, I will send you an MMA Roasted t-shirt, okay? That's how confident I am, all right? So normally t-shirt's 20 bucks, you're getting it for $10, okay? Well, $10 a month, but you can cancel if you wanna screw me. But anyway, yeah. So $10, okay? Rockfin.com/Adam Hunter, screenshot me that you did it. And if you live in England or something, I'll still send it to you, okay? So if you want to support the podcast, go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. I'll throw in a free MMA Rose t-shirt. I'll even sign it. I'm going to sign it. I'll sign it, okay? But that's how you support me. So what's going on with you?
It's actually really cool. It's very generous of you to send people t-shirts just for sending you a screenshot.
I got it.
Can I just text you my screenshot?
Yes.
All right, cool. Thanks, dude.
Yes, absolutely. So what's going on with you, man?
Man, I've been having a really freaky past few months, dude, with my girlfriend. Just, you know, our sex life is evolving and getting, you know, more intense and expansive. We're trying new things, trying new stuffs, and, you know, it's getting very, very interesting.
What are you trying?
Well, you know, when we first started, you know, I've been talking about this relationship for the past year now. It's because we've now been together for a year. And, you know, when we first started, we said, oh, she's a virgin. I'm working my way in. And then eventually, I slid in there. And then, you know, I closed the deal. But now it's like, you know, from my previous stories, I'm a freaky dude. I like crazy stuff. And I'm very sick in the head, dude, you know.
Like, what do you mean?
Kind sexually.
What do you mean crazy stuff?
Like from what I talked about before, like when I, you know.
No, but like with your girl, what do you want that like is she would think is crazy?
Well, luckily for me, she doesn't think anything that I want is crazy.
So what have you, you like anal?
Oh, yeah.
This girl's a virgin.
Yeah.
And you're already doing anal with her.
Every single time we make love.
Wait.
Yeah.
What, do you, so you used to start off with the anal?
Yeah, sometimes we just do anal and that's it.
You don't even go right for the vagina?
No.
That's a little strange.
And it's kind of weird because she wants me to wear a condom in the vagina, but not in the butt hole ass.
She told you this?
Yeah, no, I asked her too. I said, do I have to wear a condom in the butt? Because, you know, there's like no risk of getting anything or you can't get pregnant, you know? So I just don't wear a condom.
I think there is risk of things in the butt, by the way.
But I thought that's like, you have to have like open wounds in there and it has to be blood.
You might want to Google that. I don't work for, you know, Planned Parenthood, but you might want to Google, can I get an STD by having sex with a girl in the butt? It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very, very good at seducing women and like smooth talking them and getting.
But if she's a virgin, I don't think you have to worry.
I mean, she's not a virgin no more. I'm very, very manipulative to get girls or just people in general. I mean, more likely girls.
What do you mean you're manipulative?
Like, you know, in sexual terms, like, yeah. I want you to, you know, lick my balls and stick your finger in my ass. See, I might be hesitant at first, but eventually I will, you know, manipulate them into thinking it's okay.
Like, what do you say?
You know, I just say, you know, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Do it all the time. No big deal.
That's manipulative?
It's pretty manipulative, dude.
You know, so now you're sticking your penis in her butt.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like, every time you hang out with her.
I mean, yeah. And, I got a sex toy on Amazon. You know, sometimes you're up at like 3 o'clock in the morning on Amazon and you're like very, very hazy and half asleep. You just like, you don't give a fuck about how much anything costs or anything. You just buy it, add it to your cart and buy it. It's like, yeah. Oh, I'll get this in the morning. Cool. Order this butt plug. It's a vibrating butt plug, dude. And I know Amazon, they have the dimensions of everything when you buy it, an item description. I didn't really read the dimensions.
Right.
So I finally get it in the mail 2 days later. And I find out that this thing is like 6 inches long, like 4 inches wide. It's freaking massive, dude. This thing is huge.
And you use it on her?
Oh yeah. But the thing is, it's kind of like two sex toys in one because it has like a slot in the butt plug where you put a vibrating like dildo inside of it. And so you can take that out and like put the batteries in it.
So you're putting a butt plug in her and a dildo.
Well, it's like a dildo inside of a butt plug.
Wow.
It vibrates.
So how big is her butt right now?
It's pretty big. So I even told her, I'm like, I actually felt bad. I'm like, you know what? We're doing anal and, you know, analingus and, you know.
What's analingus?
Analingus, like cunnilingus, but it's like.
You're licking her butt, you're saying?
Yeah.
And she's totally wiped. She uses baby wipes. You're sure that like. Everything's clean?
Oh, no, there's no preparation beforehand. But sometimes it's like after work, it's been a long day. It's like, you know, I don't give a fuck about that either.
Doesn't right? smell at all back there?
No, it's very, very surprising that it doesn't. And,
yeah.
You know, it's no big deal. And she wants to go into my ass, and I told her that's kind of a big deal.
Why?
You don't want to go down there, dude.
Why is it a big deal?
210 pounds, and freaking, it's all hairy, it's swampy, it's disgusting. but you know, if we go in the shower, you can, no big deal. And that's what we did. We went into the shower together for the first time the other night.
Wait, she? How do you know she wants to go in your butt?
Because she told me, and she's always trying to finger my ass.
And then what do you do?
First of all, it's very ticklish down there, so I'm always laughing whenever she tries to do it.
My wife does the same thing sometimes.
It's very, very ticklish.
I'm like, get out of there.
Yeah. But I tried to get her to shove the dildo vibrator butt.
Up your butt?
Yeah.
Why would you want it up your butt?
Because it's hot, dude. I don't give a shit about that. Remember, I have a video out there of me fingering my own ass, sending that girl on Bumble.
But what's hot about having a dildo up
your
ass?
I really want to see what it feels like to have your prostate massaged.
Moustache?
Yeah,
with a mustache up there?
Yeah.
Okay, massage.
Apparently, that's like the best feeling for a dude.
Yeah, but this girl's 19 years old?
No, she's 21.
21, right? And you're the first guy.
Yeah.
You don't think maybe you're ruining her or maybe she's going to be for everybody else?
I'm probably going to marry her too, so.
You better.
Because I feel like.
Maybe put a ring on the dildo when it's up her ass.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this has been like a big science experiment. And it's like, you know, like in fifth grade when your teacher gives you like an egg and you're supposed to raise it and then it hatches and it turns into a chicken?
Yeah.
And then you raise the chicken?
Well, that never happened, no.
I saw that on Trailer Park Boys, but yeah. It's like that. I'm like watching her evolve into this dirty freak, and she's like sort of joining the dark side, dude, of the ween. You know, she
literally.
Yeah, she's joining my dark side, dude.
Yeah.
It's like she started as this very nice Catholic, you know, girl, very sweet, very innocent.
And her parents home, were you doing this?
No, that's like where she draws a line. She's like, I don't want to do anything with my parents. I don't want to get
that's hot. The line right there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do anything either. I mean, I want finger blast her. She might finger blast me. She might suck my dick. But there's no like, sexual intercourse while her parents are at home. Which is a rule, you know, I can understand.
That's a good rule, yeah.
If her parents walk in.
With you having a dildo up her ass?
Yeah, I mean.
What do you think would happen?
I mean, I try to hide it with like a pillow or a blanket, but if they found out that she had a big dildo in her ass.
So how close is she to getting the dildo up your butt? She was pretty close.
I got it. Well, see, the thing is, I'm not trained. I'm not anally trained like she is. So, you know, I've been training her. And I'm not anally trained because I don't train myself. I don't really like, I mean, every now and then in the shower, I shove a finger in my ass. No big deal.
What?
I mean, just to, you know, try it out.
Why are you fingering your ass in the shower?
I'm not fingering my ass. I put
you just said you were.
Ass. Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, kind of. But her, the butt plug thing is so massive and so big. And it's
I mean, you know, when I was your, how old are you, 22?
I'm 23.
I think I might when I was 23, maybe once. But you're doing it on like a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, I only shower a couple times a week. So it's like, only a couple times a week. I'm not going all the way up there. I'm just going up to the first knuckle. It's no big deal.
You're putting knuckles deep up your own
like
butt?
The first like finger knuckle, like that. Like the like right under.
And on a regular basis, you're doing this?
I mean, like I only shower like 2 times a week. So like a couple times a week.
Why do you only shower 2 times
a week?
I don't
know, I'm too busy. Dude, I got school in the morning.
Don't you do jiu-jitsu 5 times a week?
I mean, I haven't been to jiu-jitsu in a bit, but yeah.
And you shower twice?
I mean, more realistically, like 3 or 4 times.
You shower twice a week and she's licking your butt?
Well, no, she's not licking my butt. I would never let her lick my butt. I mean, I've asked her to, but just to see what she would say. I would never let her do that. It's so disgusting. I don't even think it's physically possible to lick my asshole because there's so much hair down there. It looks like a freaking sandwich.
You can get waxed.
I'm not going to get waxed. If I'm going to get waxed, I'm going to wax myself. It's funny you mentioned that because I was reading a story about a dude who tried to wax his own ass.
Yeah.
And he ended up fusing his ass cheeks together because he didn't do it right.
Were you that dude?
No. I mean, CB Gold. No. He, like, the wax, like, because it's hot wax, it's very sticky. It is, like, he fused his ass cheeks together. He had to go to the hospital or something so they could, like, get a jackhammer and break that shit up or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know the full story, but.
Well, I think if, you know, this girl's letting you do all this stuff, and she trusts you, and you're her first. Maybe you should marry her.
I think I am, dude. I've been through a lot of stuff with her. Her family loves me. Her extended family.
When they hear this, are they gonna love you?
I'm gonna set this episode to private, so nobody can hear.
That is so funny.
And I like how I walk in here and you first notice that I lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah,
or appears to. I did the keto diet for about a month and a half. And I went from like 225 pounds to 200 pounds, basically.
What's the keto diet?
It's like you're eating high-fat food, no carbs, no sugars. And it tricks your body into using your fat cells as energy instead of carbohydrates. I lost a bunch of weight. The only problem is the keto diet, it sucks, dude. You can't have fun on it. You can't eat jack shit.
Yeah, these weird diets, I'm not a fan of them, to be honest.
You can only eat like straight meat. By itself, and that's it. Meat, cheese, bacon, and that's it. It's like whenever I go to a restaurant, go somewhere, it's just very, very depressing. And also, I didn't really have that much energy on it because I'm a big dude. I like to eat carbohydrates. I like to eat Taco Bell, and you know, there's no Taco Bell in the keto diet. It just sucked, dude.
Right. Well, all right. Since this is a fighting podcast, and I'm sure we've pretty much lost all the listeners.
Yeah.
You watched the fights last week?
Fuck yeah, dude. So apparently, you know, now they've moved all the pay-per-views to ESPN Plus.
Right.
I don't know how you feel about that, but I think it's kind of strange. I feel like I honestly feel like the fights should all be free. Every main event in any sport is all free. Why is it? Why are these UFC
fights? They got to get paid. I mean, obviously, you know, and their business model is working. They sold it for $4.5 billion. So obviously something's working.
Yeah.
But the fights themselves. I mean, Kelvin Gastelum, oh, man, my heart, I wish he would have won that.
Yeah,
fight.
I wanted him to win so bad, dude, because I love him so much.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted Dustin to win, too, because I love Dustin Poirier. I feel like he deserved the shot more than anybody else, I mean, besides Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, well, Tony's going to, they say he needs some kind of treatment before he even fights.
Like mental treatment?
Yeah, because you hear what was going on. He was convinced there was like, that is,
there's like aliens or something.
His kid was Jesus, and that someone put wires, like some kind of wires in his legs or something, and the FBI, like all kinds of crazy stuff. And his wife called the cops, and I guess he needs help, you know, which maybe getting punched in the head right now is not a good idea.
But then a couple days later, you post on Instagram that he was mentally cleared, like they give him mental. But how do you really know that somebody's mentally clear? Like with that, did they check for CTE? Did they do anything like that?
I mean, he posted he's mentally cleared.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that, you know, because look, the bottom line is Tony Ferguson, you know, as much as I love Tony Ferguson as a fighter, uh-huh. and he seems like a cool guy when I met him, nice guy. Mm. You know, look, we all think that he could probably do very well against Khabib. We all want to watch that fight. He's a great fighter. But let's say he does have some serious mental issues, which mm-hmm. it seems like he does. And then he fights again. And then the next day he goes and shoots up a school or some crazy shit goes down. And in his mind, he did that on purpose. I mean, he was justified for doing that. Mm-hmm. Then I would feel guilty as a person going, you know what? It seemed like there were all the symptoms were there mm-hmm. on why he shouldn't be able to fight and why he needs to get his mind in the right place.
Yeah.
And somebody who's having mental breakdowns like that and does not need to get punched in the head. I'm sorry. If his wife and his kids, if his wife is calling the cops and saying all these things are happening and she's worried about the safety of herself and her kid, you know, let's just give him some time.
I mean, this is like something that we're seeing a lot now with all these fighters, especially the older fighters who have been fighting for like, what, 20 plus years. Like, you know, BJ Penn, he has a restraining order against him from his wife.
Yeah, Matt Hughes.
It's all very similar stories too. So I really hope the science behind CTE like evolves to the point where we can treat it and cure it. Because right now, it's tough seeing a fighter like Justin Gaethje go in there and get his ass beat. Even though he still wins, he's taking some major punishment.
Of course.
Fights. It's very hard to watch, but at the same time, you know.
Well, some guys, I mean, look, Frankie Edgar took so much punishment. You look at him, talk to him, he's normal as hell. Mm. It doesn't affect certain guys. But when a guy's wife is calling the cops because allegedly he thinks that the FBI is putting bugs in his legs mm-hmm. and he thinks that his kid's Jesus Christ and all kinds of things, maybe it's, you know, fighting isn't the right thing, as talented as he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, the signs are there and he hasn't really hurt anyone yet.
Right.
Like, out of the cage, is what I'm trying to say. So let's, you know.
But at the same time, we don't know his full history of mental health. We don't know if he's sort of.
No. And I'm being cautious. And yeah. I know that fans of him, you know, look, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Look, people have gone through breakdowns before and recovered from them.
Yeah.
Like Anne Heche was like walking around thinking there were aliens or something. Mm-hmm. And like, then she's, you know, doing fine as an actress, I think. Or people have gone, Robert Downey Jr. was like caught in a little kid's bedroom dressed up as Superman. Right. And yeah. And then went to jail for like drug possession and drug stuff. And now look, he's Iron Man. I mean, but
circle.
These guys aren't getting punched in the head for a living.
Yeah.
Taking the beatings that they're taking. So, you know, I would err on the... I mean, look what happened with Chris Benoit, you know, who the Canadian crippler who killed his family and himself and all these people. I mean, if you could have prevented that from happening, like, wouldn't you have? Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know... It's a false equivalency, and I know people are going to be like, well, you can't. But let's just say that the signs are there, the things aren't right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's really let the doctors, you know, do their just. Anyway.
So back to Gaslam Adesanya. How did you score that fight? Because I was a fight. I was on a date with my girlfriend. I had to watch a fight. It's on my phone, like, you know, streaming that.
Yeah.
And every time I would like glance at my phone to watch it, Kelvin was winning all the exchanges. He was like looking very dominant. So I didn't really get to analyze the full fight. But did you have?
Adesanya, I had it winning? Even going into the fifth.
Yeah, that's the fifth
and then,
round.
And then he got killed going into the fifth.
Yeah, that's probably what did it. Because I was watching that. I was like, no, Kelvin, no. Yeah, yeah. So close,
I think dude. If he would have won that fifth round, he wins that fight.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just that he lost that fifth round. It was the way he lost it. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that it was almost stopped. It was the fact that it was so close.
Yeah.
You know, let's try calling him right now, actually.
You have reached the voicemail.
All right, it's not there. Yeah, all right. There goes that.
It was a good try, though.
But that was crazy.
Think about Izzy, though? What do you think about him as a fighter? Do you think he's good? He's ready for the title? Do you think he's the future? Do you think he's going to move up to fight John Jones? I don't think that will happen.
I think he'll get murked by John Jones.
It's just such a big size difference.
And I just think that the fight with Anderson Silva was so close. Mm-hmm. The fight with Kelvin is so close. I mean, aside from Gustafson, have we ever seen John Jones in a close fight? I mean, except for maybe the Cormier fights, which were kind of close, but mm-hmm. not the second one. He knocked him out. Mm-hmm. So I just think John's too big, and, you know, we haven't seen any holes in Jones's game. Any. Mm-mm. He's almost like the perfect fighter in the octagon.
Yeah.
There's plenty of holes in Israel's game. I mean, for a guy who's like this elite K-1 level kickboxer, Gaslam was getting to him a lot mm-hmm. and winning a lot of the exchanges on the feet. And Gastelum is a good boxer, but is not at that level of a kickboxer. Mm. He took him down a bunch of times. He couldn't hold him down. But his, you know, so I think Gastelum's at the wrong weight class. I think he's a 170. Yeah, he's a 170 pounder. You see, next to him, I'm as big as him. I'm bigger than him. Like, I'm bigger than him.
That's crazy, dude.
And I'm 175. I walk around at 175. 178. I weighed in today at 178. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if I'm 178 and I'm bigger than Gastelum, you know, Gastelum just likes to eat.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
And
I understand.
Yeah, great. But at a certain point, there's weight classes for a reason. Mm-hmm.
It's like if you want to be getting paid in the seven figures, you gotta really, you know, put some work in. You gotta go on keto. You gotta put down the tortillas. You know, it's tough. I understand, man. I gave up keto after a month. I couldn't take it. I like food too.
Well, I mean, I remember when he was working with Mike Dolce, he said he could make 155 if he wanted to.
Right.
Now, granted, you know, a lot of times these guys with these like Gastelum builds, they cut weight, but they get these like. They end up looking like bodybuilders almost, and they end up like Johnny Hendricks when he had a six pack. Look, the worst he's ever looked. It's like he lost that like old man, drunk gut strength. Yeah. You know, like he lost that pop.
Yeah.
So he would have to figure out a way to do it in a way where he doesn't lose kind of what makes him special. Mm-hmm. But his hand speed's insane. His boxing's insane. I thought his wrestling was great. I still think it's great. Then I heard he hadn't attempted a takedown in 3 years. I don't understand where that's going. He's a black belt under Eddie Bravo. I don't think you get that very easily.
No.
But, I mean, there are a lot of guys out there that are black belts under Eddie Bravo that don't seem to use their jiu-jitsu. I mean, Alan Jubon's another one.
Yeah.
Alan Jubon's like an Eddie Bravo black belt, right?
He's a brown belt, I think, yeah.
I mean, we've never seen him on the ground, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good on the ground.
He's good. He's legit, dude.
Yeah.
Did you have him winning that fight?
I had him winning that fight.
Me too.
But I think that guy fought like the worst style for Allen. You know, it's like a counter striker who moves backwards.
Yeah.
It's like the worst matchup for Allen.
Allen is a super, super smart and technical fighter. So that's why people were saying, like, why isn't he engaging? He knows Dwight Grant's style. He knows.
But he also likes just mixing it up, too.
Yeah, he likes to go brawl.
And if a guy will mix it up with him,
yeah.
And then he just, it's just like, I understand why Allen was frustrated.
Mm-hmm, I do, too.
Goes
out to him. I love you, Allen.
But fuck the crowd for booing. I mean, how many wars has Allen been in?
Yeah.
And you guys are going to boo him?
Yeah.
And he's the one applying the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen's a nice... Dude, I went to... First of all, the first time I met Allen was... I go to this Legends gym. And we're wrestling outside. Like, the octagon was in the street, basically.
Wow.
Like, it was on, like... And it was a gym where, like, Connor was there. Mac Danzig was there. Dan Hardy was there. You would just see just random, like, fighters would show up, you know? And Allen was there. And Rampage would be in there randomly. Dude. Matt Harwich would be there. So Mayhem, me and Allen start wrestling, and Allen never wrestled before. Like I was like throwing him on his head, you know. But he would probably kill me now.
Yeah.
Like he's stronger and bigger and better. Mm-hmm. But he had no wrestling, none. And to see him from going from like zero wrestling to being the kind of fighter he is so inspiring.
Yeah.
Then I walked into the gym in Burbank, 10th Planet, and. He walks in, he's teaching a kid's class, and he goes, who wants some shorts? And he just gave away, like, all these shorts to the kids and shirts. And it wasn't like, he's just like, he had extra stuff, he's just giving it there. And then I'm like, I'll take some. So I have, like, Alan Jubon's fight shorts. Like,
wow,
he's just a nice dude.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy, and he's loyal to his wife. Talk about a guy that can get pussy.
Bro.
I mean,
he doesn't have to try at all, dude.
Every girl, like, he shows up. Women aren't even sweating. It's just wet in the gym.
Yeah.
It's just puddles of women.
Yeah.
And he's the most loyal guy and to his wife, who's a beautiful woman. I see why he's loyal. He's a great father.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a humble dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's an acting class. Like he doesn't rely on like, oh, I'm a good actor. Look at me. Mm-hmm. You never know he was a Versace model. Like Alan's a good dude.
You never would have known he's a UFC fighter.
No, dude. Never talks about it. Like all props to Alan.
But
man.
I'm also very happy that he didn't really take any damage in this fight because he's coming off two massive like foot injuries.
Yeah.
Like that. And so I'm glad that he didn't really take much damage. He came out still looking like a model, still looking good. And you think he can go back within a month or two to go back and fight?
Yeah, I mean, with him, I would say, you know, he's in a tough situation because he's probably in the bottom half of the top 20.
Yeah.
So I don't want him to be like in gatekeeper status. At the same time, like, I would like to, they're going to probably put him in like action fights,
yeah,
which is what they should do. They should put him against guys that, like a Paul Felder.
Yeah.
Although they might, but like the Mike Perrys of the world, like someone's going to be fun. Like him and Max Griffin would be a good fight.
Oh yeah, dude.
But yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway,
good card though.
Good card. So yesterday, Jordan Burroughs, who I don't know if you know who he is.
Wrestler.
Olympian gold medalist. Yep. Like, I mean, he's like the probably the most famous wrestler in the U.S. right now.
The GOAT?
So, no, not the GOAT, but great.
Okay.
You know, just a great, great wrestler. Black and guy. Just like kind of a rock star, yeah, of wrestling in the world. So he says, I want to do MMA. I want to do one MMA fight, right? So Chael Sonnen goes, I'll fight you. 50 grand. Let's do it. And then he says, I make more than that wrestling. Add another zero and let's talk. Okay, first of all, they're not going to give you $500,000 to fight. As much as like people would want to see it, it's like, it kind of annoys me that whole thing, how that kind of went down.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want a MMA fight, you want a money, mm-hmm, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
And Chael Sonnen would be a great fight for you. He's almost 40 years old. You match up, you would just take him down. In wrestling, he doesn't hold a candle to you. He's not that great at submissions. I mean, he's good, but he's not great.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like, I mean, he's a black belt, but he's not, or he's good, but he's not like, you know, Jacare or something. And his power, he's not known for his power. I don't think he's ever even knocked anyone out. He has power, mm-hmm, but he's not like, so that's a good match. I need a name. So for you to be like, Jordan Burroughs, with all due respect, for you to be like, no, I'm only doing it for 500 grand, bro, you haven't proved yourself in the MMA world. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kevin Jackson was a gold medalist wrestler. Amazing wrestler. And he lost, I think, in a minute and a half to Frank Shamrock or Ken Shamrock. One of them beat him in a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. And this is back in the day when they still wore wrestling shoes in the octagon. And, like, no one knew what they were doing. But just because you're an amazing wrestler. I mean, Sarah McMahon was a silver medalist wrestler. She wasn't getting $500,000 to come out. I mean, Ronda Rousey was a Olympian. She wasn't getting $500,000 her first fight in. I can't think of an Olympian that would. I get it. I understand. Kurt Angle wouldn't get that. So, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's sort of a little bit disappointing,
mm-hmm,
that you're going to say, I want to fight. And then Chael Sonnen says, steps up. And then you say, no, I want $500,000.
It's like he's just in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And it's very, very a dangerous sport to be in if you're in it for the wrong reasons. Because you're risking so much of your physical, mental.
But it's also you don't want to fight.
Yeah.
You want a money is what you want. Mm-hmm. And if you want to fight, there's a lot of guys out there that will fight you. They'll line up. I mean, it's hard. I mean, you're obviously have the advantage in wrestling, but who knows how good your striking is?
Mm-hmm.
Who your submission skills? A lot of guys will just, you know, Gary Tonin would probably wait for you to take him down and then, mm-hmm, submit you somehow,
mm-hmm,
or maybe he wouldn't. But I don't know. It just was like a little bit disappointing. And I like Jordan Burroughs a lot.
It's a wrestling match against Ben Askren, right?
Yes,
that's crazy.
Yeah, and he's predicted to win. Everyone's saying he's going to win.
He probably is going to win, right? Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm going to videotape this.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think that, you know, Jordan Burroughs is going to run through Ben Askren in wrestling. Uh-huh. But Ben Askren has not lost in a wrestling match. He's lost one match in the last, since the Olympics.
Wow.
He lost to like one guy that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so Jordan Burroughs is younger, faster, stronger. But Ben Askren is a winner,
yeah,
and he's also got that weird Khabib strength,
yeah,
that gorilla strength.
Yeah,
and I think he could pull it off. If he wins, I mean, forget about it.
Ben Askren,
you'll never hear the end of it.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm excited to watch it.
Are you nervous that it's before his fight with Jorge Masvidal? Are you worried that he might get injured or something? Might break.
You know, I thought of that, but then people are saying that he doesn't train really spar anyway.
Really?
Like, Askren does wrestling as part of his, like, main training.
That's all he does. That's so funny. So Askren doesn't give a fuck, dude. If you listen to Jorge on Joe's podcast,
yeah,
his podcast, like, yesterday or some shit, Jorge fucking hates Ben Askren, dude. Like, hates him. So, and Jorge doesn't like to talk shit at all. He doesn't
No. Jorge was on, when I was on the podcast with, in my hotel room with Kevin Lee, Colby Covington, and Dean Thomas, and me. And we did it in my hotel room, and Masvidal came, and hung out in the back. Didn't even like, he just listened. Like, mm-hmm. we're like, hey, want to be on the show? He's like, nah.
Such a good dude. Yeah. If he beats Ben, he's going to be a fucking star, dude.
Well, I mean, he's fought a lot tougher guys than Askren.
Mm-hmm.
Askren is really, Robbie Lawler is the toughest guy. He fought a couple guys in Bellator, but in 1UFC, it wasn't elite competition. Mm-hmm. I mean, he beat guys that were ranked like 40 and 50. Mm-hmm. And Masvidal, you know, is younger and more well-rounded mm-hmm. than Askren. It's just a matter of pressure.
Yeah.
And he knows what Askren's going to do. Mm-hmm. He's not going to go for a flying go-go plata off the bat.
Yeah.
So we're calling Derek Brunson, who hopefully will pick up the phone against... he's fighting Elias Theodoro.
Hello?
We're talking to Derek Brunson, a guy who's ranked number 8 in the world right now from Wilmington, North Carolina. Derek, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
So are you living in Fort Lauderdale right now?
No, I'm just out here training. I still live in North Carolina.
Are you training over at American Top Team?
No, I'm training with Henry Hoof and the rest of those guys at Hard Knocks 365.
Oh, yeah. So it was like formerly the Black Zillions, right?
Yeah.
How come you moved from Jackson's?
It's just an easier trip for me. I live in North Carolina. This is on the East Coast, so I have the kids and then family back at home. So if I need to get home, it's like a quick flight. So this is just a little easier to get here.
Nice. I'm going to be this weekend in Florida, Friday and Saturday at the Boca Black Box Theater in Boca Raton. You coming?
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I might. They got some fights. No, that's next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably come. Yeah, I'll probably come check it out.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Now you're fighting Elias Theodoro, May 4th, UFC fight night. Elias is one of those guys that's so hard to look good against. He's like this strange fighter that just puts awkward pressure on you. is it hard to train for a guy like that?
Nah, it's not really hard to train for anybody, you know, because I'm one of the guys that come out here and just put it on people, you know. So it's just a matter of just growing, you know, showing some martial arts, you know, just being a better fighter each and every time I go out. So I'm looking to showcase that and still keep my finishing ways.
Now, if you lose, you're losing to a ring boy, a guy that dresses up as a ring girl for Invicta. Like, will you lose all credibility at, like, the barbershop? Like, will it be hard if you walk in to, like, you know, to get your hair done and everyone's like, dude, what happened?
Yeah, it might be heading along those lines. Lose all credibility.
Yeah, you can't lose to this guy. I like Elias, but now, is this the first guy you're fighting that's better looking than you? Because normally you're better looking than your opponents.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you want, you know. I think if a female likes black guys, she might like me. If she likes white guys, she might like him. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
Definitely give him the better looking, you know.
These are all very good points. Now, dude, I'm obviously a big fan. We hung out in South Carolina. That was awesome. When I did that show in Myrtle Beach, you drove like an hour to see me. So thank you for that. That was pretty rad. Now a guy you fought, Israel, like that dude is, that was a rough night for you. Watching the Kelvin Gastelum fight, do you see what you could have done better?
I know what I could have done better after the fight, you know, it's just a matter of preparation. I've been training like the last 2 years at my gym in Wilmington, and I just don't have enough body. So I get in a fight, you know, with guys who, you know, really want it. You know, they're like, hey, I'm coming after this guy. You know, I want his spot. You know, I want to take what he's achieved. So that's why I started coming, you know, out this way. You know, it's a lot of guys that's hungry. When I come in the gym, everybody's like, oh, this is Derek Brunson. Let me get some of him, you know. So they give me their best. So fight time come, you know, I'm going to be 100% ready.
Oh, 100%. Now, were you surprised how good Kelvin did against him?
Was I surprised? No, I really wasn't surprised. I didn't watch the fight. I saw the highlights and read like some of the commentary on the fight. Seems like it was a good back and forth fight. You know, both guys had their moments.
Well, Kelvin had him in the fourth with a head kick, and if he would have just stood there and knocked him out, or he would have won. I think he would have won, but he said he went for a takedown, and then kind of let him off the hook. So many times that happens. It's so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I think I saw the highlight. Yeah, he was just punching, and then he dove in for a takedown.
Yeah, Yeah, it was one of those things that was like, oh God, what are you doing? What are you doing?
He probably thought you know, a lot of guys in their head are like, okay, I get this guy to the ground, I'll finish him. Yeah. You know, I get this guy to the ground, I'll put punches on him. But that was probably his moment, his thinking, you know? So, I mean, it seems logical, but, you know, you never know what's going on in his head or how he saw the fight, you know? He might think, you know, maybe I should have kept punching because I lost anyway. But let's say he would have won the fifth round, then he probably would have been like, yeah, I'm glad I did, you know, shoot in and try to take him down.
Now, I still think that you're the dark horse of the division. I honestly think on a good day or on when you're on your game, you could beat anybody in the UFC, for real, honestly. Because you have all the components. Like, you have the wrestling, you have the striking, you have the stamina, you have everything. But then sometimes you go out there and it's like a hockey fight. You're like, I'm just going to stand there and throw as many punches as I can and not move my head and see how many I can take. Like, your coaches must have wanted to kill you.
Yeah. I mean, when you were saying that, I was thinking like, oh, yeah, when I'm not being a dumbass. So, yeah, you know, you got to make good decisions out there. It's the UFC. Everybody's tough. Everybody's really sharp. You know, you just can't just run everybody over or try to, like, just steamroll people and thinking they're going to fold under pressure. You know, it's going to be really easy. You got to be, you know, a little bit more calculated. So that's one of the things that I'm working on, you know, that we're going to showcase in the upcoming fights.
But that couldn't have been the game plan, right? Like, I mean, because it was working for a little bit. Like, when you knocked out Ed Herman, you knocked out Sam Alvey, Roan Canero, Uriah Hall, it was like, just like, all right, I'm going to go. And then you ran into Robert Whittaker, who was a little more slick. Like, before that Whittaker fight, was your corner like, okay, just go in there and just start, like, Wile E. Coyote, fucking throw as many punches as you can in 30 seconds?
Nah. It was just, that's one of the things when it's like, you know, we probably want to tone it down a little bit, but if it's working, you know, that's why you need, like, I have my coaches from back at home who kind of, like, beginning their coaching, you know, so they were kind of like, yeah, it's working, you know, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I'm sure if I was that Jackson's or if I was out here, they would be like, hey, you know, it's going to get caught. It's going to catch up to you eventually. You know, you're going to get caught doing this. You know, you got to slow it down. You got to be more technical. So it's just some of the adjustments we're making.
Well, I'm looking at your thing, right? So, like, the last two fights, you got knocked out by Jacare and Israel. Before that, you knocked out Machida, knocked out Dan Kelly. Then Silva, you totally got fucked in that fight. You won that fight. Whittaker, you got knocked out. The last five guys before that, you knocked out. But aren't you an All-American wrestler?
Yeah, I'm an All-American wrestler. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you were like D1 or D2?
Division 2.
D2 All-American. Did you are we going to see wrestling in this fight?
I can't tell you my game plan.
Come on, tell us everything.
I'm going to come on your show and tell you my game plan. You never know. You know, you got to watch the fight. That's what makes it so intriguing and exciting.
Now, why don't you go, a loser shaves their head? Because that would totally fuck up Elias. If you tell him loser shaves their head after the fight. And they're like, you know how WWE, they used to have, like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake would be in the ring, like, shaving the guy's head. Maybe, like, in the actual cage, loser shaves their head.
Yeah, that'd be funny. You know, I hate to see the guy with no hair, you know.
Yeah.
Lose a fight in his hair. I'd just be like,
all right,
demoralized.
All right. All right. I could see you're like in fight mode. And now, how's it going with, like, how many kids do you have, by the way?
How many? I have two boys, two girls.
Oh, you got four kids, all with the same girl?
No, man, not with the same girl. You're asking a lot of personal questions, man. What's going on?
Sorry. I'm just trying to relate to you, man. I have a new daughter. She's 8 months
old.
How
many kids you have?
I have one kid. I got a little 8-month-old daughter.
Oh, so you're not a frequent shooter. I can take it.
Right.
You got lucky. You got lucky, man.
Okay.
You don't look like the type of guy that, like, practice safety, like, pull it out and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I pull out of town. I'm like, I'm out of here. Later, lose my number. No, I'm kidding. So, but no, so you have four kids. I know Rashad has 12 kids. So how many, is it just like, when you guys are at the Henry Hoops gym, is it just massive kids? Is it like one big daycare center?
Nah, my kids are back home in North Carolina, you know?
Right.
So that's why I'll have to head home, you know, on the weekends. Call in, FaceTime, constantly text, hey, what's going on? What are you doing?
Got it.
So my daughters are older, so my sons are younger. So
how old is your son?
How old are my son?
Yeah.
6 months and three, and my daughters are 11 and 12.
Wow, 6 months. I have an 8-month-old. Are you sleeping at all, or is your wife sleeping? Are you girl?
Yeah. You gotta have some pattern, man. You gotta get them under a good pattern.
How many naps per day?
Hey, naps per day? I'm not counting naps. It's a daycare at the grandma's house.
Ah, see, I don't have a grandma. That's the well. It's like it's me. I'm a full time dad during the day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then I do stand up comedy at night.
Do some comedy to your kid. Put him right to sleep.
Wow! Oh, whoa! Or I could show him your last fight and be like, see how he's sleeping.
There it is.
Hey, see, I had to get you because you're trying to catch me all night.
Of course, man. Of course. I noticed that you've been off Twitter a little bit. You haven't been tweeting as much. Is that on purpose? More focused?
No, I just been so busy, man. I'm focused. I mean, I go to training and I come back and I'm tired. So I'm ready to just sit down, chill, relax. I've been putting a lot of training on. Stay really busy. You know, I have a gym back at home. I have training here, the kiddos, you know, in between like recovering and stuff like that. Just a little time.
Are you training with Usman?
No, he's not in right now. He just had finished, you know, a good fight. You know, I think he's banged up his knee a little bit, so he's recovering with that. But it's a lot of good guys out here. You know, some guys you might know and some guys people won't even know that's, you know, probably going to be in the UFC or in big shows coming up.
So it's you, Tall Steve, Chandler. Is Chandler there?
Yeah, Chandler's here.
Who else?
It's a lot of guys, man. It's a lot of guys. I don't know, man. I just don't collect names of the guys, but it's a lot of guys, man. It's probably like 15 guys that fight in the UFC, probably like 10 guys in Bellator, like 5 to 6 people that fight in one FC. So it's a lot of training partners. Then you look left, look right.
That's awesome. Now cardio. Elias has amazing cardio. Are we running 10 miles a day, 8 miles a day? No, jump roping like crazy. How do we get cardio? Because I have to get my cardio up. What would you recommend?
What would I recommend?
Yeah.
Doing some cardio. That's it. Simple as that. Do some cardio, man. Stay off the weights, man. You're not getting any stronger. Your muscles aren't getting bigger. So yeah, do some cardio. Run your elliptical or something.
Nice. Now, are you having sex before your fight or no?
Whoa. My girlfriend is back in North Carolina. I'm in Florida, so no.
Ah, that sucks.
We're just out here training. That's it.
That's good. Women weaken legs. All right. Now you're fighting in Canada. You're gonna be the people are gonna boo you. They're gonna be mad at you. Are you?
I don't know, bro. I think a lot of people have been sending me messages. They like me. They really like me. So they're like, yo, beat this Canadian up. I'm like, hold on, you're Canadian. So I'm like, dang. You don't like this guy? What's going on? So I heard from a lot of people like, hey, man, we're pulling for you. We're going to be in Ottawa. So
it's the co-main event. It's Al Iaquinta versus Donald Cerrone. That's the main event. You versus Elias. Cub Swanson versus Shane Burgos. Walt Harris on the card. I like Walt. He's a good dude. It's a good card. C.R. Baduzara. I like him. He's with you, right?
Oh, yeah. C.R. Yeah, that's my buddy.
He's crazy. Yeah. I like that guy, but he's like the craziest person I met in my life.
Yeah, CR's a cool dude, man. Really cool dude.
Yeah, he's
talking to him on a regular basis.
Yeah, he's fighting Nordine Talam. I hung out with him in Mayhem one night, and he made Mayhem look normal. That's how freaking nuts he is.
Who's that?
Seer. I hung out with him and Mayhem Miller one night, and he made Mayhem look normal. That's how crazy Seer is. He's next level. Next level. Nice. But yeah. I'm excited, though. I'm going to see you this Friday and Saturday. I'll get you in free.
Yeah, probably.
The Black Box Theater in Boca Raton. I got you covered. Afterwards, we'll go to a strip club. We'll go to, what's the one in Miami? Tootsie's. We'll go to Tootsie's. So I got you taken care of.
I hear you, bro.
I'm kidding. We're not going to Tootsie's. Not going to Tootsie's. So listen, good luck, man. Keep up the good work.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right, see you.
All right. That was Derek Brunson.
Awesome.
I like that guy.
I like him too. He's a fun fighter to watch.
Yeah.
Talk shit, but
Yeah,
you know, had a little hiccup his last fight, but I'm sure he's gonna be. I'm almost positive he's gonna beat Elias.
It's gonna be. Everyone says that though. It's
I know with Elias.
So awkward to fight.
Yeah.
But Elias is not that easy to hurt either. He never gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. When is that fight? What card?
I just said it. May 4th.
May 4th. Okay.
It's coming up.
Coming up fast. Right now we got Overeem versus Oleksiynyk.
Yes, that dude's the best. The best ever.
And then Jacare versus Hermanson.
Yeah. That guy just beat Dave Branch.
Yep. Very fast submission.
And Overeem should beat that guy. That guy's like 80 years old. Yep. But he might hit him with that choke again.
He's either 80 or he's 22. We don't know.
Yeah, the Ezekiel coach.
Dagestan. Yeah. Ezekiel.
Is he from Dagestan?
I think he's just Russian. I don't think he's from specifically Dagestan, but he's from some part of Russia.
So what do you got coming up?
Go follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at the Ween Dog. I'm bringing back the Paranormal Hour. I'm going to open up a Patreon or a, what's the other one called? Or the other one that we discussed at the beginning of the episode. I might do
Rockfin.
I'm going to do one of those. I'm going to release the Ween Dog's No Big Deal MMA show on that feed.
Yes.
And then my primary feed will be Paranormal Hour. And it's going to be lit. Thank you all for listening to that, and follow me on Instagram.
Well, thank you. This Friday and Saturday, I will be at the Boca Black Box Theater in Boca Raton, Florida. This Friday and Saturday, come see me. This Sunday night, I'm in Long Beach, at the Long Beach Laugh Factory. And then as far as dates come up, although, by the way, people, like you said, go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. $10 a month. I'm going to put video every day of the week, a new video every day. I'm at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach this Sunday night. I'm in Chehalis, Washington at the Riverside Golf Country Club, April 27th. Tommy T's, Rancho Cordova, May 2nd. The Clubhouse in Placentia, California, May 14th. Gotham Comedy Club, May 16th. Westside Comedy Club, May 17th and 18th. Ventura Harbor Club, May 23rd to the 26th. Comedy Cave in Calgary, June 11th to the 16th. Minnesota House of Comedy, end of June. And then July 4th weekend, fight weekend, Stratosphere in Las Vegas. Thank you guys so much. Thanks, Ween Dog. Thanks, Derek Brunson. Take care. Bye-bye. Mocha, trap, sons, and trap, sons, and trap, sons. Trap, sons, and trap, don't sons, trap. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөл лаа. Дараа ч дуудан дөрвөл амор уу лаа.